March Madness all day.
I think Charlottesville is under attack.
And some basketball games, too. Yeah! Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Hey, well, I'm a famous stranger in the black sedan. Oh, won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby.
On this Ides of March, Joe Thomas in the morning. You see, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. And, you know, now I'm getting emails saying, Joe, don't you think it's moderately insensitive to play a song like that right after a North Carolinian is found guilty in Charlottesville court of traveling across state lines to canoodle, quote unquote, with a minor in Charlottesville under the same premise of... Well, you know, I don't think Ides of March was singing about this guy from North Carolina coming across the border. But I get it. Sensitivities are out there, but you know, they probably will remain in rotation for this Ides of March. Just watch your back. That's all I'm telling you. Joining us now from the campaign trail, where there's going to be a big senatorial debate amongst, well, most of the GOP hopefuls. For the nomination to run against Senator Tim Kaine is Jonathan Emord, a best-selling author of the book The Authoritarians, constitutional lawyer, man who's seen the swamp from the inside at the behest of President Reagan. Jonathan, good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing well. It's great to be out here.
So we were talking about this, just got an email about TikTok. We've been talking about the legislation that came down that would ban or force ByteDance to sell off its share of TikTok because of its control of the Chinese Communist Party. And Hal writes in and says, I thought the problem with TikTok was that it was spyware. And my response is, it's all spyware. It just depends on who's at the other end of the spyware. We see Twitter and Facebook both have FBI offices in their headquarters. So I guess it just depends on who's using the spyware. Jonathan, what is your view as somebody who's been one of the more ardent, strident constitutionalists on the idea of trying to ban something just because of who owns it?
Well, I think that there needs to be a distinction between ownership and the existence of the technology. In the first instance, the ownership issue is a big deal because we have the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, having use of these vehicles to gather information about those who are on these platforms. That we have to block. We have to prevent that, and we have to be vigorous about it. But as far as the content goes, you know, turning the content control over to government, it would be an enormous mistake to allow this party that is Democrat Party that's ruled Congress and the White House over the last several years and is dependent upon the FBI and CISA to censor information ranging from any criticism of the influence peddling corruption of the Biden administration, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, James Biden, the Biden family, and then any criticism of the vaccine. These things have resulted in mass censorship, the largest degree of censorship by the government through proxies in the history of the United States. That has to come to an end, and we can't open up new avenues for that form of censorship on the premise that we're somehow protecting people from espionage through in TikTok. We do have to protect ourselves from Chinese ownership, CCP-directed and influenced ownership, including the purchase of lands in Virginia, farmland, the involvement heavily in the development of windmill and solar panel technology, and then also their corrupt influences in these various telecommunications technologies.
Right. But your point being
that,
if I grasp, I mean, the point is that as a rule, we should be protecting citizens' privacy the Fourth Amendment. While they're using this technology, I mean, I think Madison and I think the framers of the Bill of Rights intentionally left it ambiguous as to, you know, your documents, you know, are they a DocuSign PDF or are they a parchment with some ink, India ink on it? I mean, it doesn't matter. It's your documents. Therefore, you should be held private, pending a warrant. Reasonable, but we also need to make these warrants tougher to get.
Right. Well, there's an economic value to your information, and that economic value now is exploited with impunity by people. Mm-hmm. So it would be a mistake to disallow specific contracts where someone says, hey, look, I'm a popular figure and I want a contract to allow certain information pertaining to me to be obtained and used by people in exchange for pay. So private contract that is overt, where you know you're doing this, mm-hmm. is one thing. But what they're doing is harvesting information gathered through your own private communications and then using that commercially for their own financial benefit. And there's a problem with that. There's a big problem with that because it enables a number of things to happen that we have to check. One is direct CCP involvement.
Yeah.
Second one is corporate involvement, in which they are actually trafficking in the sale of this information to enemies of the United States, among others, right?
Oh,
so we have to have greater control over this. There must be affirmative laws. That is, I'm not a big fan of prior restraints. I don't want any prior restraints in the area of speech and press, but I do want prohibitions and strict enforcement in instances where people are having their information taken that is private, personal, could be medical information, could be all sorts of information.
And I think that's bipartisan. I don't think, and maybe they don't gameplay it out, but my friends who count themselves as member of the Democratic Party, I don't think they would want it any more than a conservative or Republican would want it. Any more than that. Jonathan, I have to run to a break. I can't imagine why anyone would not want to debate you publicly, but apparently that's the case, and I want to get into that a little bit when we come back. Can we hang on to you for a moment?
Sure.
Hi, this is Joe Thomas, and I'd like you to join me and Fox and Friends co-anchor Brian Kilmeade for a special in-person fundraiser for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank Thursday, March 21st from 2 until 4 in the afternoon at First Free Coffee in Hollymead Town Center near Kohl's. And all we need is for you to bring a donation for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank to First Free Coffee Thursday, March 21st with Joe Thomas and Brian Kilmeade from WCHV.
Well, we're coming to your city, gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying.
Joe Thomas in the morning, and there's going to be a big GOP debate for Senate, and it's going to be full of people, but not a couple of folks who are dodging the debate. And I was scratching my head about this. Jonathan Emord, one of those folks running for the GOP nomination, who will be at this debate on Saturday. Given the fact that at the start of the 2016 presidential cycle, Jeb Bush was the front runner by a long shot and had all the money, and he didn't get 1% of the vote. I guess Jeb Bush is what ruined the ability of us to have real debates anymore, because it seems like these folks want to avoid debates and just sit on whatever they figure is their position in the party. How does it feel when people just start blowing off debates, for such an important position as U.S. Senate?
Well, it's a very big mistake, and it's based on a false strategy that assumes that you can substitute for in-person interaction with your constituents a basement approach where you just basically hide out like Joe Biden does and just don't account for who you are or what you believe in. I've seen candidates stand up there, one candidate in particular, and talk about himself for an hour, but not talk about a single issue of importance to constituents. I'm just thinking to myself, gee, this is not a a contest in which we're trying to determine whether your hair is positioned correctly on your head. We're asking you, what are you going to do? And when people don't answer, give solutions to the problems that are confronting us, which are extraordinary and very, very hard to overcome, without specific legislative action that will be meaningful and transform this country back to a constitutional republic and end inflation and secure the borders and so on, you end up with just nothing to give any trust or faith in the person. But to make that matter worse, when people don't show up at a debate, and in this case, this is a very important debate this coming Saturday, mm-hmm. and a lot of people will be there, and they want to hear what these candidates have to say, what positions they have. They want to probe those things and see how strong they are. And these two fellows just decide, well, we're not going to go. That's not a good thing. But one of them has not appeared all over. I mean, he's like the one. So Hung Cao, for example, everywhere I go, I hear, well, you know, he just doesn't show up. I mean, that's the kind of the standard line that I hear. Mm-hmm. He does not show up. And I don't know what he thinks he's doing, but people resent that because, look, you are going to represent, it's kind of a basic idea, you are going to represent the people of Virginia in the United States Senate. You have to know them. They have to know you. And you have to appear and answer their questions. And you need to stand up before them and tell them honestly and directly what you intend to do. If you don't do that, it seems to me that you don't deserve their vote.
And here's and I'm looking at the debate lineup. It's Regent University. It's the College Republicans of America. I find it hard pressed to think of a more important demographic right now for Republicans. We talk about Republicans reaching out to the Black community, to the Latino community, but young people are at a breakneck pace realizing the lies that they've been told and sold. At the hands of the authoritarians, to borrow from your book, Jonathan. So when Hung and Parkinson skip this debate, I think they're missing a great opportunity to reach to these young people. Talk about the importance of the college Republicans coming into the 2024 Senate race.
We have got to embrace the youth and work with them. They have been indoctrinated for years now. We've seen this massive woke indoctrination in the schools. I just was on Virginia Commonwealth University campus and met with a whole bunch of different students, some of whom were very hostile to the idea of having capitalism and free enterprise and a constitution in the United States. It's just amazing. And then a whole bunch that were actually very, very excited to see that someone who stands for the values that they believe in is actually courageous enough to go on to a college campus and interact with kids individually. And we were there for hours. And the whole point was exactly what you're talking about. We need to embrace kids. We need to go to the enemy, wherever they are, and discuss these issues, debate them, and to be bold mm-hmm. in assertions in defense of the very freedoms we know have to be protected in this country, or we're going to lose our whole nation. And that generation is going to be responsible for protecting us, and they're going to have children, and we've got to make sure that, you know, freedom doesn't die after one generation. And this requires us to get out there in the public forum, get out there on the college campuses, and assert our defense of individual liberty, free enterprise, and also the Constitution's limits on government power. Otherwise, the game is up, because the Democrats pervasively are present on college campuses and heavily involve themselves in the activities that go on college campuses.
Yeah, without question.
And where are we? So at least in my case, I'm taking this initiative.
Shooting up.
And I think we've got to do it. And it is hearts and minds. We have to win over hearts and minds. We never thought when we were young that we would ever be in a position where we had to fight within America to save America. We always thought the enemy was outside the country. Well, the enemy is inside the country now. And there are a lot of kids who are confused and who mm-hmm. are being misled and who are being propagandized daily. And you've got to get into their environment. We have to get involved with the youth directly.
Right.
The churches are, some churches in Virginia are very successful in doing this. I'm very proud of J.R. Gurley's efforts, for example. He is indefatigable advocate of these foundational principles, and he's trying so hard to reach the youth, and it's working, but we all have to do it, and the party has to do it.
Jonathan.
And you know, we can't be a party of old people. We can't. We have to be a party of everybody, right?
Absolutely.
And that means that we reach everybody, but we have a winning message, which is freedom. It is the winning message in the world. It is the winning message here.
So it's emord4va.com is your
That's
website.
Right.
And the debate is 2 o'clock on Saturday at Regent University in Hampton Roads. I don't know if it'll be streamed anywhere. The U.S. College Republicans are hosting it. Best of luck at it, Jonathan, and thank you for checking in with us this morning.
You bet. Take care.